3. Numbers 35, beginning to read at verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye become over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then shall ye appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither which killeth any person at unawares or unintentionally. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not, until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which ye shall give, 6 cities shall ye have for refuge. Ye shall give 3 cities on this side Jordan, and 3 cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be the cities of refuge. These 6 cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel, and for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that every one that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. Verse 24. Then the congregation of that city shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood, according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled. And he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return unto the land of his possession. 2 Samuel chapter 3. 2 Samuel chapter 3. Beginning to read at verse 27. This is probably more well known than the verses that we just read, although the message tonight will be based on Numbers. We shall try and bring Abner's story into the message. 2 Samuel 3:27 says, And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly. Hebron was one of the cities of refuge. And smote him there under the 5th rib that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. Verse 32. And they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, Died Abner as a fool died. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him. May God add a blessing to the public reading of his precious word. God ordained in the verses Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6 that whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. That was not a part of the law of Moses given on Mount Sinai. That was given a long time before Moses and a long time before Sinai. It was a law given by God for the persevering or the persevering of the life of mankind through a punishment that would cause men to think twice before they killed another man in cold blood. God made it a law. It's a universal law. It has never been changed. The same law that applied to Israel when God gave it applies to us today. It is a law given by God to the nations of the world. Now, you know, I didn't quote all the verse. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. And we normally stop there, but the verse goes on to say, For he is made in the image of God. You kill a man. And you take away something of the revelation of God that God has given to the world in that person. And God says, I won't allow you to do that. and the value of the life of the man that was killed is confirmed by the death of the person who killed him. That's how you prove that that man's life was valuable. If you say that's okay, he probably was drunk. That's all right. We shouldn't be too hard on him. And many nations in the world today take that attitude. You are devaluing the life of the man that dies. And God says, because he is made in my image, he shall die also. The nations that forget that are among those nations that forget God and pay dearly for their leaving the divine law, putting it to one side. The cities of refuge do absolutely nothing to change that law. The cities of refuge were not made for people who killed intentionally. As a matter of fact, according to the passage that we read together, they were made for the person who killed accidentally, who killed unawares, who killed without forethought, killed without hatred. The verses that describe those killings we left out because they don't really apply to the message tonight. But just the one that says if you throw a stone unawares and it hits someone and that person dies, you didn't know they were there. You didn't try to kill them. Then you could go to the city of refuge closest to where you were. And you go into the city, and the residents of the city, who were Levites, by the way, they were the tribe that was chosen to carry out the services of the Lord in the tabernacle and the temple. They didn't have an inheritance among the people. Each tribe gave them some cities, and in those cities were chosen 6 cities of refuge. If you had killed somebody intentionally, they turned you over to the Avenger of Blood. A person close in relation to the man that was killed comes along, seeks your life for the life of his relative. And if you did it intentionally, you die. If you didn't, then you were tried and you were allowed to stay and you were allowed to live. Why did God do that? Why did he make provision for the person who slew without intention. Because it isn't fair, as you and I consider fairness. It isn't just, even as you and I consider justice, that if you threw something, if you were cutting down a tree, and the axe head fell off, it hit the person on the other side of the tree, helping you, and he died, you would not be a murderer. It would be just as wrong to kill that man who wielded the axe as it would be to kill somebody. The person who did that would be guilty of murder, is what I'm trying to say. God, in his omniscience and in his wisdom, saw the need for cities of refuge. And our God always does. In his omniscience, in his wisdom, he looks down upon the sons of men and sees a need greater than the need described in that story, and provides for us a free and a full salvation. And as a result, these cities tell us the story of the Lord Jesus. These cities give us a beautiful picture of our precious Savior. As we consider them tonight, perhaps you're here without the Lord Jesus. As we talk about them, may you see your need as a sinner, of fleeing as they were told to flee to these cities of refuge for salvation, for refuge, as our brother Larry spoke about earlier, for shelter against the storm that is brewing for every person who has rejected the Lord Jesus as their Savior. How do they speak of the Lord Jesus? Well, they were appointed. That's what the verse 35 of Numbers, that's what verse 11 of Numbers 35 says. Then she shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you. There were specific cities. You couldn't just go anywhere and get saved from the Avenger of Blood. You had to go to the place where God, through Moses, appointed. And so they were
those and those alone. They were for everyone. Verse 15 says, these six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner that is with you. There was nobody barred. If you fell into that category, if you had killed someone without intending to, whoever you were, even if you were not an Israelite, then you could go and be saved. They were sufficient. There were three on the east of Jordan, three on the west of Jordan. Wherever you were, you could find a city close enough by where you could flee and be saved. They were easily acceptable. They were easily, let me change that word, accessible. There was nothing in the way. Israel made sure that the path to them was always open. The instructions to get there were very clear. And you could do one of two things. You could flee or die. Because the Avenger of Blood had the blessing of God to find you and to kill you anywhere other than in the city of refuge. They were appointed by God. People today, as they did in those days, wanted to find other places to go, wanted to find other ways to escape. The results were always the same. The Bible doesn't record each person that went to a city of refuge and each person that didn't go, so that we have to look before us a proportion or ratio of people who did it and didn't do it. But we know that if they didn't go, they were going to die. I guess some people tried to reason with the Avenger. Maybe they felt they were as strong as he. Tried to talk him out of, to explain that what they did was not worthy of death. And so it is tonight, my friend, with your need, if you're here without the Lord Jesus. God has appointed a way. There is only one way, and that's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that cross of the Lord Jesus, just like the city of refuge, stands between you and death. Either you go to the cross or you die. And you've heard that from people who can explain it much, much better than I can. And you've heard it for most, if not all, of your life. Go God's way, or you die. The Bible says the wages of sin is still death. That has not changed. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that has not changed. So if you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus, and you confess that you're a sinner, you realize that death is just before you. But I'm here to tell you tonight, that between you and death is the Lord Jesus. All you have to do is to go to Him. Go to God's appointed way. And no other way. No way of your choosing. No city of your feeling. No man comes to the Father but by me is what the Lord Jesus said. It isn't wise to try and argue with God. God will not change His mind. Some try to do other things to get there. Some try to buy their way there. Some try to work their way there. Some look at other people and say, I'm better than him. If he's a Christian and he's going to heaven, I'm going there too. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he must be born again. If you try to argue with God, He will not argue with you. He'll point you to the cross of His Son, the Lord Jesus. There is none other name under heaven, as I've already quoted, given among men whereby we must be saved. But I'm here to tell you tonight, sinner friend, that that is not the only appointment that the Bible speaks about. Paul, talking at Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, tells them that there is another appointed way. Another appointed day. He has appointed a man, the Bible says, through whom he will judge the world in righteousness. That man is the Lord Jesus. Said another way, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. The first appointment, the city of refuge, or the cross of the Lord Jesus, is optional. You don't have to go. Second one is not optional. Miss the first one, and you will keep the second. If you don't go to the cross of the Lord Jesus, you will go to a Christless eternity, where the Bible says there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There is only one way, and it is appointed by God. Secondly, the cities of refuge were for everyone. The verse that we quoted, verse 15, says it's for the children of Israel, those born into that favored land where God's laws were given and God's blessings were promised. But God is not a respecter of persons as far as salvation is concerned. There were sojourners that would come through the land and just rest a while and stay a little bit. If they killed somebody unintentionally, they were protected. They could go to the city of refuge. If they were strangers and just passing through, not even stopping, if they killed somebody unintentionally, they could take advantage of the city of refuge. John 3:16 has not changed. The Bible says that for God so loved the world, not a little part of the world, not a few select people out of the world, but the whole world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth. Remember when the old preachers used to come around and say, if you want to, you can put your name there. If Roddy believes in him, Roddy will not perish, but have everlasting life. And he still invites. He does not summons. He invites. You have the right to choose to go another way. He loves the world. He saves only those that believe. What would happen to the man who didn't believe Moses' word and told to flee and remain unconcerned? Suppose he said, that's not for me. Suppose he said, as some people do about salvation, I'm too good. There was no reason for the Lord Jesus to die because of my sin. Some might say, I'm too bad. My sins are too grievous. You don't know me. God does. Others may say, I'll take my chances. That person would die with the mercy of God extended to them, with death and judgment just ahead. And you're like that tonight if you don't know the Lord Jesus. How many times have you rejected God's invitation? God's word says it's for you. I like Romans 3:22. It says, it is unto all and upon all that believe. It's to everybody. Brother Alec, I can see him now in Shirley Ice Gospel Chapel, standing on a Wednesday night in the middle aisle trying to explain that word verse. And he took off his jacket and he held it out to the congregation. He says, like salvation, this, I'm telling you, anybody that comes forward can take this jacket. It's to anybody who comes. And then he put it back on. He says, but it is only upon all that believe. And that choice is open to you tonight. Jesus wept over his own. When he came into the world, he died for the sins of all men. And he looked at the nation into which he was born. And he said, oh, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her brood under her wings. I would have gathered you. You would not. 2 Peter 3:9. Peter, speaking of the Lord Jesus, says he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Are you disregarding the shelter and safety of the cross tonight? You are, if you don't know him as Savior. I believe I can say without fear of contradiction that if you had lived in Israel at the time this was written, and you had a friend that killed somebody accidentally, and you knew it was accidental, That if you went up to him and said, do you know about the law that can save you? And he said, no, I don't. What can I do? And you would say, go to the city of refuge. It's just down the road. And he said, no, I'm going to stay here and take my chances. You would think he was a very, very foolish person. And yet, if you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus, that's exactly what you're doing. And the stakes are much higher. Eternity is at stake, your eternity. You would plead with them. You would probably try to force them to go. And yet, you continue to say, not tonight. You know, if you continue that, one day you will hear the invitation for the very last time. And you will go out into a Christ's eternity. And you'll be like Abner, whom David wept over. The cities of refuge, number three, were sufficient. If you were looking at a map of Israel, and I have one just there in my Bible, the Jordan River goes down through the middle of it, and on the left side, on the west, there are three cities of refuge, one in the north, one in the middle, one in the south. On the east side of the Jordan, there's one in the north, one in the middle, one in the south. You can look at it and see that God intentionally placed them where he did so that people could get to them without difficulty. Mr. Unger, writing about how the Israelites dealt with this in their law, says, nothing was spared to guarantee the help of the manslayer. There were enough cities. The roads to them were kept clean. Hills in the way that were removed if there were rivers. The bridges were built and the bridges were kept in good repair. There were signposts along the way so that they could see, there's Hebron, there's Kadesh. They knew they were just close by. And in addition, they let two students of the law go and meet them and carry them, both for their help and in case they ran into the Avenger of Blood. Everything that they could possibly do was done to make sure that the person who was about to be killed could escape. And God has done more for you and for me. If those cities were sufficient, what about Jesus? Is the Lord Jesus sufficient for your need tonight? Is it that you found a better way? If you have not trusted him, you're telling him that his words on the cross, it is finished, were not true as far as your life and death are concerned. Because if they were true and you believed it with all of your heart and soul, you would fly to him for mercy. Even though God is satisfied, even though those who have trusted him are satisfied, you are not satisfied with Jesus. The road is clearly marked. Do you have a Bible in your home? Almost every page in it is full of words, of guideposts, of love that God has for you in the sending of his Son. The Holy Spirit is in the world, and he's probably convicting you just now of your sin. And if you look around you with eyes that are not too complaining, you'll see Christians whose lives in witness testify to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus. But I have a feeling tonight that it's possible that some of you will wind up like Abner. You know, Abner knew the way. Abner had gone to the city of refuge. Abner was a general in the army of David. He and Joab and their armies had just had some play-like fighting. A lot of people got killed. Joab's army won. And Abner was going home. And Joab's brother Asael came behind Abner. Oh, Abner said, go away. I don't want to kill you. The battle is over. You're just a boy. And he wouldn't stop. He kept behind him. And eventually, so that he would save his own life, Abner just shoved his spear back. And the butt of his spear went through Asael. And he died, and Joab became the avenger of blood. Abner went as fast as he could to Hebron. But consider this, that in the gate of Hebron, Joab came, pretending to be his friend, probably put his arm around him, and with the other hand, threw a sword or a knife into his heart. And David said, as I close, David, who didn't want Abner to die, David, who said Abner was a better man than Joab, David, who asked God to curse Joab's family forever, as a result of this, said, the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool died. Hard words, you say. Oh, we'd rather see you in heaven than to die as a fool. And this is what else he said, thy hands were not bound. You had the gate of the city within your grasp. Abner, all you had to do was open it and walk in. Your feet were not put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. Died Abner. As a fool died. I wouldn't die. How would you die, son of man? Does what the Lord Jesus did for you at the place called Calvary mean anything to you at all? Oh, you say it does, Lord. Yeah, I'm not what you think I am. I've listened to this message so many times. I have been touched in my heart. I want to be saved. You don't believe that I really want to go to hell. No, I guess if you were willing to talk to us, that you would say you were not willing. But what's going to happen the moment you cross over time and return? And you say just one moment into the flames, oh, if I could only, but it will be too late. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Ezekiel looked at transgressing Israel, and he said to them, why will you die? Why will you die? I get no pleasure. He was speaking for God in the death of the wicked. And if you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus, that's how God categorizes you. You're either saved or lost. You're either righteous or wicked. And it won't do you any good to say I was more righteous than some of you Christians, because we do not stand in our own righteousness. We stand in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. You have no righteousness of your own. If you hold it up before God, he says it looks to him like foul smelling rags. You will die, you will go to a lost eternity, where the Bible says your worm dieth not, and your fire is not quenched. I invite you tonight. As Moses would have invited those who slew someone without intending to. There's a city down the road. It is your only means of escape. It has been provided by God. It's available for anybody. And it is sufficient. The Lord Jesus is the only way. He's available to everyone. And he is sufficient for you. Won't you trust him? Tonight is your Savior. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful story. We thank you for the pictures that the cities of refuge give us of our Savior. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that even though men go other ways, you're still the only way. Thank you for making yourself available to all mankind. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're easily found. We thank you that you have promised in your word that him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Would you, in your mercy tonight, speak with a voice that would raise the dead, cause the hearts of men and women, boys and girls in this meeting outside of the Lord Jesus to turn in faith to you, and be saved for time, and for eternity be free, in your own precious name. Amen. Good night.